U.S. delivery companies are projected to handle 2.3 billion packages this year, a 5% increase over 2024. But will the items on our holiday shopping lists be on store shelves at the prices we want? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the logistics of holiday shopping this season are University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business professor Sachin Modi, owner of Stoney's Etc., Sandy Stonebreaker, and co-owner of Woodburn Games, Michael Hubbard. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us,
Lucy.
Well, it's going to be a great conversation. Sachin, FedEx and UPS both have grounded dozens of planes in their fleets after the deadly UPS crash in Louisville. What impact is that having on holiday shipping and just the movement of goods?
Lucy, this is a time when there is a huge amount of volume of goods that has to move with FedEx and UPS. And sometimes the grounding of the planes does stop some of those things from moving. What that will probably mean is both FedEx and UPS will have to increase the level of flights that they have a little later in the season. So there might be more expedited shipping that happens. What that means for a lot of consumers, though, is to make sure that they get their orders in for their online shopping that they do well before the deadlines, right? Oh. So that these can fly and get to the people they want to get to.
Don't be a procrastinator like I usually am. That's what you're saying.
Yes, I think that's true for all of us.
Yes.
Procrastinate, but don't procrastinate this year.
That's right. Sandy, have you seen a slowdown in shipments for your stores? Anything that you get from UPS or FedEx?
I am seeing a bit of a slowdown. Promises made but not kept. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did that has helped me is I saw it coming with the tariffs, so I way over-ordered in October. So I'm pretty well stocked full. And on a personal note, in October I bought $70 worth of coffee, so I'm good there too.
What about you, Michael? Have you seen any slowdowns with the shipments of stuff to your store?
I would repeat a lot of what Sandy just said. We know Woodburn Games been open for about 7 years now. We kind of know our pattern and know how important the holidays are, so we don't like to cut that close. So we start stocking up end of August through, I expect our floor to be fully stocked first week of November, so that as soon as we hit November, December, that we're not worrying about it. We still do a lot of orders to get some of our most sought after titles, our evergreens, back on the shelf in time for people. But for those, we don't notice much of a immediate impact right now. Ours is more of a problem of packages going back out to people that we need to make sure we're communicating with them, get it in before this date or it's not going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Sachin, Sandy just mentioned the Trump administration's tariffs. What kind of impact has that had on the quantity of goods shipped to the U.S., or has it had an impact there? Or I also wonder how quickly those goods get here as manufacturers try to figure out the cost of the tariffs and build all that in.
Yes. So, Sandy, one of the things that tariffs do is they increase the cost. And that has an effect both on the quantity ordered sometimes, because a lot of times, especially small businesses and retailers like Sandy, want to stay within a certain cost parameter that their customers will pay. So order quantities may have gone down, but more importantly, costs have gone up. So what a lot of consumers might see on the shelves right now is prices that are just a little bit higher than they would have been otherwise. And that really is one of the things that affects our local businesses a lot, because they have to raise the prices, that affects stuff. It takes around 8 weeks or more for stuff to get shipped to the U.S. So like Sandy and Michael said, they would have placed their orders a long time back to make sure that the products that they want were here by November in the stores. But the quantities may have gone down a little bit, but the biggest impact is the prices will be slightly higher.
Mm-hmm. Michael, have you had to adjust prices to kind of accommodate these tariffs?
Yeah, it's been a really delicate year of trying to navigate the ever-changing pricing waters. There's absolutely been a tariff impact on board games and the hobby. I mean, I could think of a dozen board game manufacturers who closed down this year because they can't justify the price. The margins are so razor thin on a board game production that there's not a lot of wiggle room unless you price it out of people's range. We have seen almost every publisher who we carry has done price increases across the board over the last 6 months or so, 9 months, to account for those. We've tried to counteract that in the store the best ways we can. We're carrying a lot more what we'd call stocking stuffers, smaller titles, instead of the big giant games that you'd see that are $90, $120. We do still have those. We've lowered our quantities on those to get a few of those on the shelves for people who are looking, but we've really gone heavy into the smaller $15, $20 price point games that people can still get and not feel like they're going to not have great. And you can get a ton of a game in a small package, so they're wonderful games. It's just a easier price point for people to be able to grab.
Yeah. Sandy, what are you seeing in terms of what the prices you have to charge?
Well, I got a bit of a surprise because having over-ordered, I thought I was fine, and just a week ago, I had to reorder from one of my major suppliers. And, yeah, I learned about the increase from tariffs. I'm trying to hold my prices down. I'm pretty loyal to my customers, and so I haven't increased just a few items. But, you know, I'm eating the cost of the tariffs.
Yeah.
And you know,
well, that makes it tough for you as a business owner, doesn't it?
Well, I survive.
Yeah.
You have to sometimes. Like,
Yeah. Has it changed? Have the tariffs changed the kinds of products you're carrying, or are you able to source them from other places to try to avoid the tariffs or lower your costs at all? Or does it all basically have to come from where it has to come from?
Not for me. I'm loyal to my customers, but I'm also very loyal to my suppliers, and I'm very picky about what I carry in the shop, so I'm not going to, you know, go to plastic toys when most of my toys are wooden, no battery, you know, so I keep that quality up. So I'm not willing to sacrifice that for cheaper prices.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? Have you been able to make any adjustments on the – you mentioned making sure you have plenty of more affordable games that are still lots of fun, but are there any other changes you've tried to make to accommodate for these tariffs?
Sure. I mean, the biggest change that we've tried to make in the last few months is actually not product-based. We've tried to really invest heavily in our event-based structure so people can gift events. We've done gift certificates to be able to get people into those events that they might want to come to. We can't control the price of products, like no matter how much I try. We can't. And we do. We try to keep our prices as low as we can as well and still make a margin that can keep the doors open, to be honest. But there's only so much we can control in that. Board games are a global product. The 90% of them are probably not made in stateside. Wherever that's at, wherever they're developed, they're coming here from freighters, and that's going to cost money and they're going to get expensive. So we've tried to divert a lot of what we can do in the store into experiences and events. We do game nights. We do youth events. We had a big Blood on the Clock Tower event with 15 people on Friday. Things that people can come out and experience. We can control those prices because we only need to get one of the product and then can play the game with everybody at the store. So we've tried to do that as a way to like get people in the door with a more affordable price that we can control.
Well, we are talking about the logistics of holiday shopping and the trends local shop owners are seeing this season. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. That email again is talk@wvxu.org. Sachin, have you noticed any kind of change in shopping habits? You mentioned trying to get those orders in early. If you're shopping online, are you seeing more people doing that? Are they tending to shop earlier in the season this year versus prior years because of all these different price pressures?
I think the bigger change that Lucy relates to that is I think a lot more people are shopping online, and that does increase the tendency to wait because a lot of times, you know, you can get something delivered the next day or the day after. The stores are still full with people, so I think there is a huge amount of people who like to go and actually grab the gift that they want to give someone, touch it and feel it before they actually package it to give it to someone. So I think that is really critical. But I do feel that there's a bigger move to online shopping that is happening, and that is making it more challenging for smaller businesses and retailers to compete in the same space for that.
Michael, did you say you get some people who order either call or I don't know if you have an online order mechanism?
We do. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it was woodburngames.com. Sorry. Yeah, we do. We would always prefer people to walk in the store. First of all, it lets us do what we do. Like anybody, like we don't try to compete with online providers of board games. If somebody wants the lowest price on an online board game, it's a global market. Like I said, it's not going to be a small store in Walnut Hills. We have expertise and we have a community. That's what we focus on. We want people to come in the store so we can talk to them about the games, show them like, hey, I played this, or I want to give a gift to somebody who played this. We try to do everything that we do to build a community is a face-to-face thing. So by all means, we'll take an online order. They're much more cumbersome, as we just talked about. They're much more time-consuming and cost. So if at all possible, I would tell everybody, go to a store as opposed to buying it if it's a store you have access to go to. The cost and pricing goes up for all stores when we have to package, ship it out, take the time to process that order as opposed to just talking to you, putting a game in your hands and walking out the store with the game that day.
Yeah. And Sandy, you're really focused on that in-store experience.
I am. And yeah, my answer to online shopping, particularly with toys, and I sell gifts for all ages, but particularly with toys, when a child is able to go into the toy room and handle the toys and look at everything that's there and make a choice, that is so far superior. And I actually had a father say to me recently, he said, my little girl, her favorite toys are all the toys that she got from you. And then he specified that it was because she got to pick them out, you know, and she got to choose what she wanted. So there's something about hands-on shopping.
Sure. Yeah. And you think you might know what that little kid wants, but when you see them test drive something, that makes a big difference.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. And later in the program, holiday cookie baking tips from local pros. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the logistics of holiday shopping and the trends local shop owners are seeing this season. My guests are University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business Professor Sachin Modi, owner of Stoney's Etc., Sandy Stonebreaker, and co-owner of Woodburn Games, Michael Hubbard. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. You know, Sachin, we've been talking a lot about prices and the price sensitivity that people are seeing with these tariffs. But the other thing I want to ask you about is the de minimis exemption has been lifted on items under $800, and customers can now be hit with import duties they weren't expecting or they've never encountered before. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and what kind of cost this can mean for online customers?
Yes. So earlier, those duties were not hit. What that meant was customers would not see them. Now there's a chance or a risk that those duties might hit. There are a couple of things customers should be careful about. What I have noticed is sometimes when you're shopping, there are codes that retailers are using that you can use during checkout, which will avoid you from getting those duties. I recently was looking at some sweaters that come in from Ireland, and the retailer does post a code that they would take care of the duties and we would not get passed on to those duties, or they would reduce the prices accordingly for those duties. But that is one of the things that is going to raise the prices for online shopping significantly this season. Mm-hmm. So people should be careful as they buy goods. A lot of times the country of origin is not easily visible when you go shop online. So when you're shopping on Amazon, please be sure to check where the product is coming from. That can affect the cost significantly for people this year.
Now, I heard earlier today about an Etsy seller who was from outside the U.S. who had some trick of trying to reduce that import duty cost by kind of making the price different than what the real price was. So instead of saying, oh, my customer paid $100 for this, it was like my customer paid $25 or whatever. I don't know that those are the exact numbers, but are you seeing different, you mentioned these codes, are you seeing different manufacturers or sellers trying to navigate the system that way?
Yes. So one of the things that can be done legally to navigate the system.
Appreciate that word, legally.
You have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Tariffs generally are based on harmonized tariff schedules, which have a code. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that the same product can qualify under different codes based on what it is. And sometimes manufacturers can be a little more careful and decide what is the correct code to put that particular product under, which might be with lower tariffs. This happens a lot where when, let's say, you're looking at something which is like a shirt which has a fabric blend. By changing that fabric blend or putting it under the correct tariff code, there might be a different implication of how much tariffs are paid for that same product when it is shipped into the country. So using those techniques is really good for manufacturers where we call that tariff engineering, or sometimes you can modify the product a little bit. For example, something that can be shipped without the battery might have a different amount of tariff attached to it when you're shipping it with the battery. So using those things can really help.
Wow, it's so complicated. Well, let's talk again about shopping in stores. Sandy, are you seeing shopping habits changing for customers, whether it's younger Gen Z customers or different people who come into your store? What are you seeing in your store in terms of just shopping habits?
I do feel as though people are being very careful about their spending habits. And I have people that come into the shop and they will take pictures of different things and then leave and say, I'll be back. So they're, you know, I'm not sure who they're sharing that with. But and eventually they usually do come back. But people are not just grabbing things off the shelf. They're being very selective in their choices. And that's why I'm proud of what I have.
What about you, Michael? Are you seeing a shift in shopping habits, I guess, especially for Gen Z or younger consumers?
Yes and no. I mean, there's, you know, the economy affects everybody differently depending on where they're at. Some people acknowledge it more. Some people acknowledge it less. I would say leading up to November, we've absolutely seen the pricing or just conversation about the economy affect people's shopping habits. Less add-ons or additional purchases, like instead of choosing two games, I'm going to get one and hold myself to that. Or being much more, we get a lot of picture takers as well, like I'm going to shop around a little bit, see what's happened, which is all great. Now that we're into the holiday season, I think it's closer to traditional holiday shopping. People love games around the holidays. They love to go home and play games with their family on the holidays. So people are more inclined to throw another small title on there to have some variety. So now I think it's normally what we see. I think it's the year that's been leading up to this that puts more kind of tension on this time of year as a shop owner, that the rest of the year has been pretty soft. So it makes December more important.
Yeah. It's got to be a good December. Have we gotten into that panic season yet where people come in and maybe a month ago they were taking pictures to shop around and now they're like, I got to get something. I've got a deadline. It's coming. It's coming up. Are you seeing any of that, either of you?
I thought you were talking about my panic season. That starts January 1st every year.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are not quite to the last minute shoppers, but we're absolutely to like, I need a gift for somebody. I don't understand what you do. We've tried to like – we try – again, one of the benefits of going into a store that's a community-based store over at Woodburn, we've tried to make a lot of like really easy button gifts for people. We've done prepackaged bundles. Like I have a D&D person in my family. What do I give them? We have a bundle that is discounted with three items in it that is already wrapped. You can hand it to them and it covers everything. You don't need to learn about the game. We do mystery games that we have pre-wrapped that we've tacked a discount on to. You don't know what game it is, but trust me, if you just tell me who your person is, I'll hand you a mystery game that's wrapped for you. You can give it to them and pretend like you were a genius.
I always like to pretend I'm a genius. Sandy, what are you seeing? Are there any toys that are trending the most this year? Anything that's more popular this year than in the past?
Well, I'm pretty standard as far as what I offer in toys. I do not do trends.
You're the classic toys.
Classic toys that can be kept in the family and handed down from generation to generation. So I have seen a little bit of panic buying. And one of the things I see a lot of is somebody coming in and saying, my nephew's birthday party is this afternoon. What can I get for him? Yeah. And I love being able to recommend, how old is he? Oh, okay, let me show you my bestseller for that age group. So that's part of the fun part of my job is finding the perfect toy for that three-year-old boy.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any toys that you've been having trouble getting that you've been able to carry in the past just because they've gotten popular unexpectedly or because tariffs are making them hard to get in the store?
Probably my puppet line. I'm not able to get that anymore. And that was really a wonderful – I have hand puppets, but, you know, the big puppets.
Like the marionette kind
of
puppets?
The marionette, yes. I can't get those anymore, and I really miss those because they were a lot of fun. And people would play with them in the shop and make up stories. And so, but most of my product lines are from companies that are still doing well, even in spite of tariffs. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? Anything you can't get anymore that's just flying off the shelves so fast it's hard to keep in stock?
I mean, the easiest answer would be trading cards for bigger kids. Trading cards are a thing that this year has been very hard on the trading card available inventory for
the
global
market.
Pokemon cards, Magic cards, all of those, Lorcana. Now, we're pretty beefed up on them right now because we've been trying for months to get beefed up for the holidays. But it's by far been the thing that's hardest to get. And like once we run out of what we have right now, I don't expect we'll have any more before probably mid-January, February. Other than that, you know, titles, there's always – it's a really frustrating time of year sometimes because there's always a hit that comes out of somewhere. Somebody sees it on TikTok or whatnot, and it's just a game that blows up. This year's just Flip 7. So trying to keep that thing that everybody's seeing and everybody's trying to get – in stock always becomes a challenge because you're like, there's 20 other games right next to it. And they're like, no, I saw this one. So that's always kind of the challenge of what gets hot and what gets not. But no, other than trading cards, we're pretty stocked up on most things.
Sachin, what implications does that kind of TikTok what gets hot and what's not? What are the implications on that for logistics and supply chain? I mean, because the manufacturers, they don't know if it's going to get hot either. How do they work through that?
So that is typically a challenge that all manufacturers face because a lot of times there's a series of different toys and you generally do not know till much later in the season which one is going to take off, which one is going to be the gift that every kid wants this year. Some of the things that manufacturers can do for that is a lot of times they forecast way early. So it's a little bit of a gamble, right? Like Sandy had said earlier, she overstocked on some stuff. So you have to put your bets on a few of those products and keep extra stock on that if that goes suddenly up. Sometimes you can manipulate demand by changing pricing a little bit so you can manage it on the demand side. But it is one of the challenges of the holiday season is to be able to say what is the best gift people are going to take off after this year.
Yeah, especially with the TikTok wild card. I mean, yes. you just don't know what's going to take off. Well, Sachin, what would you say are the biggest challenges for the logistics of holiday shopping this year? We've talked about a lot of different things coming from a lot of different directions. How would you just summarize the biggest challenges for shoppers, for retailers, for manufacturers?
So some of the biggest challenges for everyone, I think, is the prices are going to be a little higher and consumers are going to be more value conscious, right? So they want to stretch the dollar a little bit to make sure they can give the best gifts possible with the amount of budgeting that they have. That is definitely going to be a major challenge into finding the right gift at the right price that you want. Logistics is always a challenge as we get closer to the season. It tends to get colder. I love a white Christmas, but getting more snow has implications for when stuff can get around and stuff can move around. So there's always that uncertainty that's going to remain about how the weather is going to be, whether there's going to be last-minute shipping delays. So a big advice is make sure that orders are in early. You plan ahead. Helps both the manufacturer and the consumer. A big change this year is AI is in the hands of both the retailers and the consumers. Consumers can use it to plan gifts. So if you want ideas, you can use AI to brainstorm ideas. What is the best gift you can give someone? On the retailer end, some people like Amazon and others are deploying AI shopping assistants that consumers can use. So that is another big trend and change this year that is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's very helpful, Sandy. I'm guessing you're not using a lot of AI at your place.
Can I just tell you that I'm 83 and I'm too old to get into AI?
That's an oh no on the AI.
Oh no.
Well, this has been wonderful. I have been talking with University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business professor Sachin Modi, owner of Stoney's Etc., Sandy Stonebreaker, and co-owner of Woodburn Games, Michael Hubbard. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Up next, we'll get holiday cookie baking tips from local experts. This is Cincinnati Edition.